Colin James is coming for Stars and Thunder this summer, and he's on the line. Colin, have you ever been here before up to Timmins?
I'm pretty sure I've been there, but, you know, after 25 or 30 years of different cities every summer, it's you kind of can't pinpoint sometimes, but I must have.
Well, it's been what, 30 years this year since your first album? Is that right?
I don't know about that. Well, first album came out in 89.
Yeah,
so is that right?
It's getting there. If the math is right,
yeah,
sure.
Getting there.
You know, and I was looking.
25 and counting anyway.
Yeah, I was looking back, and there's really not much of a gap ever between an album release for you. It's like every 2 or 3 years. So, does that mean there's something coming up in the next little bit? Since it's been 2016 since the last one.
Yeah. We have a record done. I think it's going to come out in the fall. And it's all finished, though. Artwork's done and everything's done. So yeah, I've always tried to keep a record every 2 years. That's been the kind of mantra. And I think the only time we've had a physical tie between records is between 91 and maybe the Little Big Band 1. So after Sudden Stop to Little Big Band 1, there was a bit of a gap. I think I was trying to write relevant blues rock, you know, at the time, and
right.
Blues rock kind of took a hit from the alternative Seattle scene, and we were just trying to think what to do, what can we do, and the Little Big Band idea came around, and that was that. So
was that kind of the switch into doing the more bluesy type of stuff, was just trying to switch it up and do something different?
That was the first obvious switch, but I mean, I think because my first two records were kind of really radio, aimed at radio, and I'd started out with a lot of bluesy press, and then, you know, got signed to an American label where the pressure to have singles and have radio charts is high. And so those first two records are, you know, it was more rock than there was blues. And for a Little Big Band, the very first one I did was kind of the first chance for me to go, you know, I really do love blues. I wasn't kidding, you know.
Right.
But I just couldn't really get to it until now. And it happened to be a really good segue for me because, like I said, we were having a bit of trouble figuring out where to put things. I kind of got back in line with Bad Habits in 1995 or 96, whatever that was. But I think National Steel, my first acoustic blues record, was the first time I really laid down straight acoustic blues.
Right.
And that was with Mr. Colin Linden. And I guess that was what, 1995. I think, 96, somewhere, and maybe it was 98. I'm terrible with this, so there you
go. That's okay. So I mean, it's one of those things where I was like, you're like, I want to do blues, and everyone's like, yeah, but your rock music's charting, keep doing that, and you're kind of like, fine, I'll have to do that, I guess. Is that what happened for the most part?
Well, there's that, plus, you know, when I first started out, a lot of, you know, our early grassroots following was from blues societies and people who really did want, you know, to see someone doing more of that. So we didn't turn our back on it, but there is definitely a pressure, especially with, a big American label to get some hits, you know. So it just came back and Voodoo Thing and all those kind of things early on, Five Long Years.
Right. So what keeps the inspiration going then when that pressure's on you? How do you stay inspired to write those hits? Or even in the blues, now that you got a little bit more freedom, what keeps you in that mood to be writing an album every couple years?
Well, in the last two records have been, again, you know, to go back to the kind of blues thing, this next record's going to be a blues record as well, like Blue Highways was on my last one. And, you know, we started kind of noticing that around the world there's these pockets of blues lovers, whether it's Germany, Norway, Sweden, England. And I started kind of doing these blues cruises down into the States with people like Buddy Guy and Taj Mahal and all kinds of people from Chicago, and just kind of realized that it'd be really not a bad idea to put straight ahead blues down on a couple records to kind of get more into that, so hopefully get me into more some European blues festivals. So that was kind of our thinking, and that's what we've done. And now I'm free. Like, I don't mean now I can kind of move on and start doing whatever's coming next, and I don't know exactly what that is, but, you know, probably more original material. I have two originals on this new record coming out around the corner, and it's kind of interesting because it really kind of, they do define the record in a way, because they're not standard blues.
Right. So does this freedom, I guess, does it help or hurt? Because now that you can kind of write whatever you want, maybe you write a rock song today, and then a couple of weeks from now you're thinking blues, and then you, all of a sudden you got a collaboration. You don't really have enough for one album. Or do you, when you get into a rock or a blues mindset, that's what you're writing for months?
Well, you know, right now I'm really, like I say, the slate's free, and it's just a great way to walk into starting to do more original material. Is that I tend to write with a lot of the same people in my life. Tom Wilson's the guy that I write with a lot, out of Hamilton, and Tom's a really great lyricist. We wrote Freedom together years ago, and we've written a whack of songs now together. And there's a song on this new record in a kind of a, anyway, I think I have an idea of the direction I want to go in already. It won't be so far from blues, but it's probably, you know, because it's original, it just sounds, it'll sound a little newer.
Right. So now, you were saying you want, you know, getting into the blues festivals and that kind of stuff. How do you, what's the difference for you on, in the blues side of things between a festival show and like a tour show? Or is there a difference?
Well, I mean, when I'm doing these ones on the blues cruises, you know, you're playing with kind of international acts from all over the world, and really you're just trying to have the people who may never have seen you from North Carolina or from California kind of go back to their cabin and go, hey, I really enjoyed that, you know, and bring some energy to it. I think, you know, one thing I've really enjoyed about these cruises is that, you know, you're playing alongside some of these people you've listened to all your life. To see kind of what you can bring to the table different, and a chance to, you know, I don't know, capitalize on that and bring a bit of that energy into that world.
So now when you're coming here now for Stars and Thunder, and it's a big, you know, eight day long festival, and you're on the stage with a band like Blue Rodeo, who's been around a long time, do you sit back and go, okay, I'm going to kind of promote this blues stuff I'm doing, or do you go back to Voodoo Thing and Five Long Years, and do you play all that, or do you stick with the blues stuff?
It always depends on the energy or what you're doing. You know, I'll change it up all the time, and I'll never do a show where I don't do some of that. The only time I wouldn't play anything from my old book was when I was doing the Little Big Band, because it was a horn section jump blues thing, and it just didn't make sense to do Five Long Years. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It was incongruous.
Right.
And, but no, in a general sense, if you're doing, you know, stuff off Blue Highway, sits along just fine with some of that older stuff. And, you know, you find new ways to show the song, so you're not just running through, you know, the 80s. All these songs have kind of progressed in their own way over the years, and, I just love my band right now, you know. I've got guys in my band who are fairly, you know, in their 30s and 40s, mostly in their 30s. And, you know, a lot of them had grown up hearing me come to see me with their father when they were 13 or 14 years old, or they, you know, a little bit. It's great. It's a really great team right now. Everyone's such great players, and they all play on my last two records. You know, in the past, I would always often hire studio bands, people from Bonnie Raitt's band to play bass, or, you know, I would do things like that. Now, the last two records in a row, I've worked exclusively with my own band, and I've used a co-producer who's, you know, we work really well together. So it's really nice these days to tour with the band that you'd most likely, that you are so happy to be playing with, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when it comes to Blue Rodeo, I think I've been doing shows on stages with those guys since 86.
Wow.
So it's hilarious.
So you know them quite well.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned a lot of the guys in your band grew up, you know, listening to you coming to shows with their dads and stuff like that. How is it, like, the first time that that happens? You know, you've been, you know, you're doing it for 20 years or whatever, and now the people that have grown up listening to you are now coming up to you full grown and talking to you about it. How does that come about? What goes through your head the first few times that happens? Is it kind of like a, oh man, I've been doing this a long time, or is it instantly a really cool experience?
No, it's really great, man. It's better when you're sitting talking to people. You know, sometimes we do a bit of a meet and greet after a show or whatever. And you know, a little while ago, you know, two guys who were probably, you know, 18 or 19 came up and said, oh my God, you know, we could never come and see you because we were always too young. We couldn't get into the, you know, and, you know, here we are. Could you sign my guitar? And, you know, it's awesome. It's like, it's, that's the best.
So do you plan to get here day of your show? Are you hoping to catch some other days? Do you have free time at all to see any of the other acts?
You know, to be honest with you, I have no idea if we're getting there the night. We usually get there the night before, maybe my guess. able to go catch something that night or not, I don't know. I guess it depends when our planes get in and all that.
So is there anybody you've never played with in your career and you're like, I got to get on stage with that or open for them or have them open for me or share a stage or something. Is there anybody still on your bucket list?
You know, the weird thing is, I was really lucky growing up to really meet a lot of my heroes. Like, I got to Albert King, do shows with Albert King and Albert Collins, I got to play with, and Carlos Santana, and a lot of the people in my sphere, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Bonnie Raitt, Pop Staples, I mean, Mavis Staples. I never thought I would meet those people at all, and I've had a chance to play and remain friends with. So, you know, I have to say, you know, I've really been lucky that way. And yes, sure, I've never met Eric Clapton or people I could think of, but I really, truly have been lucky that way. And, you know, I want to, I've got a wide range of tastes, though. I've become a Radiohead fan lately, and I listen to them a lot. So I was looking at their summer days to see if I could fly into any of those, but, yeah.
So how much do you play in a year, would you say? Do you keep track of how many shows you're doing in a year, or is it just kind of like, you know, as they come and go?
You know, it changes to where your cycle is on a record, and if you're doing the, you know, sometimes you're just doing one-offs, sometimes you're doing them, you know, a month and a half, 2 months at a time. So it just depends on how it falls in the year.
Right on. Well, you know what, that's pretty much all I got. I do have one more question, actually. A coworker of mine is a some dogs in the background. Yeah, don't worry. I know how that is. I've got a kid. I've had a couple interviews with people, and you know, I've got my kid screaming in the background occasionally too. So I have a coworker of mine who's a big fan, and he's a big blues guy and stuff. And he asked me to ask you how often you change your strings, because it seems like you rip on them pretty good, and you have to change them all the time.
You know, the longer you tour in a row, the stronger your fingers get. You start breaking a few more strings as you go, and as you get stronger. But I find, we don't change them every show. Some people have, not every show. You can go for three or four sometimes, but about that many is kind of the max. You know, I have a guitar tech, you know, we keep it in the best order we can, but fairly often.
Now,
you can always tell when the string's dead, you know.
That's what I was going to say. Is it because the string's dead, or is it because you end up breaking them?
Both, but you can tell when you can't tune a string very well, you can tell it's kind of done. And
right.
It doesn't ring out like it should. So, but sometimes changing all your strings is a bad idea because, you know, they're not that bad, and you can definitely do two more shows on them. And sometimes that's better than brand new ones because they're not going to slip as much and blah, blah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? You put brand new strings on, you got to work them in a little bit, or all of a sudden halfway through set, you're out of tune, right?
You got to pull on them hard, especially if you're doing any, you know, major bending, then it's an issue.
Yeah, and in the blues world, you're doing quite a bit of that.
That's happening a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. Well, I appreciate you taking some time, Colin. Looking forward to seeing you at Stars and Thunder in June. So, you know, can't wait.
Wicked. I can't wait. Awesome.